T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is now 9:08 here at WCCO. Welcome to Center Stage. All things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. We're going to talk to Rohan Preston after our first interview. He's going to talk about Hello Dolly and a few other things. So there's so much happening in the Twin Cities, honey. You just have got to pay attention. Of course, this is the week that we are celebrating the loss of someone that we loved. He is beloved here in this state and around the world. Prince, as you just heard them talk about it on the CBS News. Well, to start out the show tonight, I'm excited to have a few people in studio tonight to really talk about Prince and who they were and who he was in their lives as well. New Power Generation has a show this Saturday at the Fine Line, and the former music director for Prince, Morris Hayes, is joining me right now. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, now, I'm doing well. It's great to have you on tonight. There's a lot going on this week to celebrate the life well lived of our own beloved Prince, and it's been 3 years, but it feels like yesterday. How are you doing?
You know, it's a question I get frequently, and it's really hard to believe, even 3 years later, that he's gone. You know, it's just one of those things that just it seems surreal. You know, that much time has gone by, and still it's just as fresh. It seems.
After 20 years with him, do you still think about him every day?
I don't know if every day, but I can tell you it. Just about musical situation, a few days don't go by without, you know, thinking about either something that he said or something funny or something musical. It's just like it's just in the fabric of us, I think, a lot, especially for those of us who was around for so long. And so, you know, it's just it's an interesting thing. It's just like a family member, you know, just going.
And that's exactly. For the Steels, it was very difficult for us, and it still is, even to sing some of his songs. But singing the songs can really make a difference, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what is the healing factor of it, is that the music is medicine itself. And I think the more we play that, and it's just like we all feel better, not only the fans, but I think those of us who played with him. I mean, it's really medicine. It's therapy for us.
It's medicine. It's therapy. You moved your way up at Paisley Park to the big job, music director. Hear. Were you shocked when you got the job?
Well, you know,
did you start in the mailroom or something?
Actually, that's about right. I was a production assistant. I drove the van. In fact, 1988, I was driving the van to pick up the talent. I would pick up Mavis and George Clinton and all of these folks, and so that was my gig. I had a walkie-talkie, and would, you know, they'd send me to the hotel to get, you know, Tevin Campbell and whoever that needed to be picked up, you know. So that it was in effect working my way up. I just wanted to be around the studio. I knew that if I got an opportunity to just like be there, I could learn and I could observe, and who knows, you get discovered, who knows, you know. But I just knew that that's where I needed to be.
Yeah. So the challenges of being a music director, it takes a whole lot to do it. It takes a lot of focus. It takes a lot of time. It takes, you know, Prince was one of those that was hands on. It wasn't one of those. He gets the message through somebody,
right,
through somebody, through somebody. So that must have been a big challenge for you. Always wanting to have your ear to the floor to make sure you heard what was going on and knew how to answer the questions.
Well, the thing is, it's a title I wear very loosely, music director, because Prince really was his own music director.
There you go. That's right.
You know, I was the guy that basically, if he stepped away, I just kept the machine moving. But, you know, it's not like I sat there and did these arrangements. I mean, Prince was very good about taking input from us and allowing us to be musical. And if we did something cool, then he's like, yeah, that, you know. But make no mistake about it, he was the boss. He was running it. He was the one that came up with the great majority of the ideas that turned out to be the show, you know.
Before we talk about the show that's coming up for you this Saturday, here you are. We have Paisley Park, the museum. And there's a part of me that would never have expected his remains to be left in that building, you know, to know that it's kind of been enshrined. And there's something about that I don't know what to do with it. When you first walked into that place as a museum, was it challenging for you? Did this kind of change the way you looked at it all?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, when we did the tribute in 2017, I was there mostly in the back part of it. Mm-hmm. Only went in the front part maybe twice, and I never went and did the whole tour. I just haven't felt right about it yet, where I feel like I need to just go and do that whole thing. A lot of the other cats went and did it. I was in the back, and it was the weirdest thing because, you know, of course, you being there and working with us as you did, I was doing some last-minute programming type stuff, just checking mixes and stuff with the sounds, and I just had that weird thing of like expecting the door to open up and then hear those boots like walking down like click
right.
click click
right.
click. I just kept looking at the door like he was going to come in, and it was just the weirdest vibe because I did it for so many years that it was just instinctual to look at the door and just go, he's going to come in right in the middle of what I'm doing this. And it just, but he never did, you know? So that was a very unsettling thing for me. I think, just that, because it's just so ingrained in your DNA after you've been there for so long. And it's just, that was a typical day. That was, you know, you'd be working and when you least expect him, he'd pop up and you'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm working on this or whatever. You know, so that was kind of weird.
Well, there's a lot going on this week to celebrate Prince. And, of course, you put together some of the original New Power Generation members as well as some of the newer ones. Tell us who will share the stage with you and who will sing or be Prince on stage.
Well, you know what? That's the trick, is that nobody can be Prince. I mean, that is one thing that when we were trying to, you know, really like working with singers, you know, is that it wasn't a desire to try to find someone that's like Prince. I think the thing is, you always want somebody who can interpret the songs in the spirit that they were meant to be, but you definitely, nobody can fill those shoes. That's a, you know, you make one of them and you're done.
Yeah. So bottom line is, whatever you sing, people are going to be singing along anyway, right?
People are going to sing along because the music, like Kirk would say, the music kind of plays itself. It just plays itself. And so that's one of the things that we're going to do. We're going to, and we got a diverse set list. So it's, you know, we try to touch on things that everybody can dig, and some stuff that may have been off the beaten path, and then something like, oh yeah, you know. So it's like, we want to be able to do stuff like that. And as far as the people or the personnel on the stage, you know, we got Tony Ann, we got Levi Caesar, we got Mackenzie, our new singer. We have Josh Dunham on bass. We have a new guy on drums named Les Cleveland, who worked with John Blackwell, our beloved drummer, who passed away a couple of years ago. We have Damon Dixon.
Damon was one of the dancers, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's all right.
So Damon will be with us as well. And, you know, so we're looking, of course, myself, and then we're going to have a young lady that Prince, I actually introduced her to Prince way back in the 90s from a tape I got at Radio City. And she was like around 12 years old. And I did a couple of demos with her and took it over to Levi and them over at Paisley. And Prince ended up working with her, named Tamar Davis. So she's going to join us that night. So we're looking to have a really great time.
You know, you can do a million medleys in a night of Prince music, and you still cover all of his body of work. So when you talked about the set list, I can just imagine how you had to, you know, flow over that so many times, discuss it over and over again. Have you made any changes since the last time you played the music of Prince?
Oh, yeah, big time. So, you know, what we want to do is try to keep the experience fresh. I mean, there are some stalwart songs that I think everybody wants to hear. You know, it's the typical thing that everybody wants to hear, Purple Rain. It's just one of those things. It's a Hallmark Prince song, and everybody, you know, at the end of the night, you feel that emotion from that. But we definitely spiced up the set list. We try to change it and keep it fresh so people who may have seen us in some other place, or First Avenue or whatever different place, don't come back and necessarily get the same set.
Right.
So he has that much music. I recall when we did the 2016 celebration, we played for almost 5 hours. And
that was at XL, wasn't it?
At the XL, that's correct.
Yeah.
It was funny because I would meet people on the street and they would say, oh my gosh, that was so great. It was a long show, but you still didn't hit this song right here. I had like, you know, like 15 people say songs that we didn't play and they were all different. That just speaks to the massive body of work that Prince had.
That's right. Now, there were people coming from all over the world and they will have a lot of options to choose from. What do you think they are looking for, even expecting from you and others? This week,
I think they expect what they saw with Prince. I think that's what we expect. We expect to perform on the level that we did when Prince was with us. You know, I always think in the back of my mind, if Prince were to, like, you know, because that's something that he and I and among others used to do. We used to go to see different people's concerts and go see people play. And Prince had this thing. If it wasn't like hot, he'd be like, "Let's go," you know. And we'd be gone. And like after the first few couple of songs, I remember Thomas Dolby told me he saw Prince like at First Avenue. He came up, and Thomas is one of my heroes, and he was telling me his Prince story. He said, yeah, you know, he was up in the balcony, and the curtain opened, two big guys, and then he was there, and then I played a song, and then about the next song, I looked up, and he was gone.
Yeah, know, just like, that fast, right.
He was just, like, gone. And so one of the things I always think about is if he came to see us, would he leave? And I just try to make it such that he'd want to come and get on stage. If he was looking at us playing, he'd be like, man, I got to go get some of that. You know, that's what I think about. You know, when I talk to the band, it's like, we want to be hitting so that if he was there, he'd have to come get some.
Yeah, he used to get on stage with us at the Fine Line. Tommy Barbarella was playing with the Steels back then. I'll never forget. He was with Kim. What was her name? He was dating Kim.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And she was in the room, you know. So the show is at the Fine Line. It's Saturday night. Are there still tickets available?
Yes, it is.
I can't believe it.
The tickets for the table sold out like in the same day. It was like they were gone. But there's some stuff on the floor. You know, there's a lot of activities, so people have a lot of choices as to what they can come see. But there's some tickets still left for the floor, and we want everybody to come down. It's going to be a crazy show. We don't get it in. It's going. We're going to turn some flips and do all kinds of stuff.
You're going to wear some yellow pants with something missing in the back. That's what I need to know.
I won't have the butt out. He's the man for that. I'm not brave enough.
Your mama won't let you do it, man. Your mama won't let you do it.
I have the biggest switch in the world waiting on me when I get home.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Tickets are $50. You start at about 11 o'clock. I think you have a DJ at 10, right?
That's correct. So we'll start at 11, and so the doors will be at 9. DJ will be right after that. He's going to be bringing the heat. So it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a party atmosphere, and it's going to be feel good. You know, everybody's going to be celebrating. So many people coming in. I've been talking to folks from overseas and all around. We're talking about they're coming, and they're just excited. So it's going to be, you know, this is a beautiful time for Minneapolis and the city. It's such a great week. Mm-hmm. And such a great way to remember our friend. You know, he did
our
so
family.
Much for the state. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And all you have to do
so
is go to finelinemusic.com for tickets. Congratulations to all of you. Will you tell them, especially Levi and Sonny, and just tell them I love them, okay?
I surely will. Thank
all right.
you so much.
Take care of yourself, Morris. That is Morris Hayes. All right, we're going to come up with Rohan Preston coming up next. It is now 9:25 here at WCCO, and our favorite lead theater critic over at the Star Tribune is joining us, Rohan Preston. How you doing, darling?
I'm well, thanks. Welcome back.
Thank you. I missed you. Were you on last week?
Yes, I was on, and what was it, Two Hot Mamas?
Two Hot Mamas. Two Hot Mamas, man. They are getting it done. Well, it's great to hear your voice, Rohan, and there's a lot
Thank
going on. You.
You
had a chance to go over and see Hello, Dolly! At the Orpheum, correct?
Yes. And frankly, I didn't know what to expect. I mean, Bette Midler did it on Broadway.
Yes.
And
in the
she was
movie.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a throwback piece with lots of very quaint, quaint is a nice word, outdated things. But it's a beautiful production. And Betty Buckley is wonderful.
Right.
As Dolly.
And she's been doing that role for how long now?
She's been doing it for the tour.
Okay.
And so she she went out, for Bette Midler, and I think she also did it in New York. And she's a Broadway vet, so very terrific performer.
Right. She knows what she's doing. That's for sure.
She's doing a lot of charisma.
Yeah,
you know?
I just made a mistake. I mentioned that it was the one you said that played it before, Bette Midler, in the movie, and it wasn't. It was Barbara Streisand, correct?
Barbara Streisand did it, and then originally Carol Channing.
Carol Channing, right?
Yeah, this is her signature role, and just it's like those are some big shoes to fill, and I think. Betty Buckley does a very nice job.
So what happens when you have to fill the role of those type of shoes? When you watch that on Broadway and you open your program and you know that someone in that big, huge role is going to have a fill-in, what do you say to yourself? Do you adjust your seat yourself in the seat and go, uh-oh, here we go?
I have to say, for people who don't originate the roles or for understudies, they actually, you as an audience member, you're likely to get a performance as strong because they have something to prove,
Right. They're going to give it everything.
They're giving it everything.
No pacing. There's no such thing as pacing for 8 shows. Just give it all.
Yeah. That is something special, frankly. I remember, even on a local level, a few years ago, Pavielle French filled in Black Nativity.
Oh my gosh,
you
said she tore it up.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It was incredible.
It was like, y'all better come back. I think it was Greta who can sing her face. I was like, you better come back, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's got to be a challenge. But thank goodness we get a chance to hear other people do such great things,
Absolutely, absolutely. And I should compliment the rest of the company, the companies of Hello Dolly. They're terrifically talented, and they find a lot of humor, a lot of wit, a lot of joy in all the small moments. So that's one of the things that makes it such a fun production.
Did you take your daughter, one of your daughters, or your wife?
No, I didn't. I actually, I wound up, I have a racquetball buddy who comes to shows with me, and he had to bow at the last minute, so wound up with one of the person there at the theater sat next to me.
Right.
It was fine and wonderful. It was great. It was a full house on Tuesday. And by the way, this show continues for another week.
For another week. Okay. So all you have to do is just go to the Hennepin Theater for the Arts.
Hennepin Theater Trust.
That's it. HennepinTheaterTrust.org. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you can get your tickets. Okay. Now, I know that the Guthrie is doing a show, Metamorphosis, that's coming up, right?
Yeah. I actually had two shows at the Guthrie this week. So Metamorphosis is the adaptation and anthology of Greek myth adapted and directed by Mary Zimmerman in a big pool of water. I saw this show in New York on Broadway, and it's here now. It's fantastic. It's better than it was on Broadway, and some of that has to do with the Guthrie is a much the Guthrie Thrust stage is a much more august, regal space,
right?
And you're able to do a lot more. So I actually saw it from the balcony, and it looks like a playing space in New York on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Here it looks like a temple.
How about that? What a difference.
With the water as an altar. So
and there is a pool there, and so people can get wet, right? If they sit too close?
Well, not audience members, but certainly everything is splashing up in among the actors, and as they tell these stories that are really wrenching. Some of them are very instructive. Some of them are very witty, retell all these Greek myths.
My goodness, the Guthrie is doing great things. I mean, to know that this is playing through May 19th, Metamorphosis, which, by the way, I was a little disappointed. It wasn't the Metamorphosis with Kafka, right? I kept thinking to myself, it's the book, the roach guy.
No. Yeah. Well, these stories, these myths have inspired a lot of people, a lot of different people. And there is a real key thing in the piece as well. But But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, and Cyrano de Bergerac is still playing there through May 5th, so go see a great show.
I went to see your boyfriend.
Oh, my gosh. Love him. Love him. Oh, he's just a great actor, man. Don't know him personally at all. Love his work.
Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful performance. I saw it last night, and Full House, they've settled into it.
Yeah.
I think at the end it felt like a little bit of, I would have done a little editing and clipping to make it flow faster.
Okay.
But I understand it. I'm a poet. I love language.
Right.
And the language is beautiful and glorious. And sometimes you want to stay in it for a long time.
Well, I just want you to know, he said a little bit from the script on the radio, and I almost started crying. I had to hold back the tears. I'm going to tell you something. If a man came to me and started talking to me like that, I'd be like, baby, what you want? I mean, I can go get it. You want some cornbread with that? What you need? Just beautiful language, you know, where you just melt into putty. It's been such a pleasure having you on. I always wish we had more time. You know, we have to do another one of those half hours, just me and you, okay?
I'd love that.
Okay.
Absolutely love that.
All right, I'm planning on it. You take care of yourself.
All right, thank you so much.
And if you want more information about Rohan Preston, just go to StarTribune.com/Rohan Preston, and you will get his critiques. All right, we'll be back in a moment. It is now 9:37 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You're listening to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. And oh my gosh, one of the guys in here, I can never seem to get him on enough. And I keep saying to myself, how do I get Tommy Barbarella in studio right here at CCO? Like bring a keyboard or something that he can play and we can do a song. And then of course, Julius Collins walks in, who is a bad boy. He can show enough sing. Let me tell you something. You sound like Prince to me when you sing. And I don't know if that was something you practiced or how did you come up with the same type of effect in your voice?
I think Prince is one of probably three of the more instrumental male vocalists on my approach to singing.
Yeah.
I can't sing like Prince. Nobody can sing like Prince. But there are things that he does that are true to me. And I just try to, you know, give voice to that. In the spirit, oftentimes, when we're doing these shows of him or his approach to singing. But
well, let's talk about the show, because Tommy, of course, is called Love to the Nines. And this is happening next Saturday night at the Parkway Theater over South. And people know and love that place. They've been using it for music events and all types of events for a while now, for several years. And it is working. Why did you pick that venue? Was it the intimacy of it?
Yes, and you know, it's actually been renovated recently.
Mm-hmm, I heard that.
It's really nice. And I know for a fact because several years ago I was there with my family to watch the Muppet Show.
You had to get a tetanus shot on the way out.
It was not so clean. And then we did a show there a few years ago, and it was, you know, they revamped it. It was a concert venue, but now they've taken it up a notch, and it's a really nice it's a nice venue.
The big challenge for me is with the two of you being there, first of all, the community is going to buy out the house. It's like, how are people that are coming from all over the world that are going to hear and know that you're there get tickets?
Well, you know, I just go to Parkway Theater and on their webpage. I wish I had the specific information right here in front of me. Mm-hmm. Where I probably should.
I'll have that for you. No worries.
Misha giving me the business right now. But yeah. Just go to the link and hop on those tickets. Yeah, they're going pretty good, so I would recommend doing that sooner than later.
Right. It's called theparkwaytheater.com. That's with a T-E-R, not a T-R-E. Now, first of all, it's so difficult to figure out what songs of Prince you're going to do. This is a unique type of show, so explain the show to me.
Yeah, so we've done the show a couple of times at the Dunsmore Room at Crooner's, which is a wonderful little intimate, about 50 people.
About 90 seats.
Yeah, so in a beautiful Steinway 9-foot.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah. So we've done it a few times there with great success, and we've taken it to the Parkway where we can fit a lot more people in there. We're bringing in a Steinway. It's going to be – we're doing it right. But, yeah, it's like, you know, the both times we've done the show, we've done some different songs. There's so many to choose from, obviously, that's the tough part, and it's also the fun part. So there's so much back catalog to choose from. We're not doing the hits. We're doing the deep cuts. We're doing the stuff that means stuff to us, you know.
Mm-hmm. You worked with him for how many years, Tommy?
7 years.
7 years. I mean, you were entrenched. Many people thought you and Prince were best friends. You know? Seriously, because they always saw you together or around. I mean, the band went to a lot of things that he went to after the performances, that sort of thing.
That was a special time. That band was, you know, he was trying to create a band that was like a family. He always liked that. He always enjoyed that that camaraderie of the band. And that was somewhat of a comeback time for him, that New Power Generation era.
Right.
And
the Revolution was like a family to him, too.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, he was looking for something a little different, a new sound and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys help develop that sound at that time?
I think so. You know, I tell the story about when I was rehearsing out there with Margaret Cox's MC Flash project.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to open for him on a tour. He asked Sonny, Michael, and I to stay behind to help him with some songs. And Michael was actually still already playing with him at the time, but Sonny and I weren't. We were playing with the Steels.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this was like the second day. I met him like the day before, 2 days before, and then he's asking me to come in the studio and help him with songs. It was unbelievable. So he shows us a song, and he's like, you know, just make up some parts. Just do it. The first song we recorded was Diamonds and Pearls. And everything we did ended up on the record. And I believe that's the day the New Power Generation was born. How we worked together, the four of us at that point.
Don't you imagine the kind of brain power in that room right there, though? Just
incredible.
That artistry between Michael, Sonny, and Tommy, and Prince.
Yeah, incredible.
It must have been incredible.
So are you singing Diamonds and Pearls?
I am not. We did do that at the first show. Right after he passed, we did the show at the Parkway Theater and did... We did Diamonds and Pearls. Jamecia was with us for that one.
Oh, Jamecia.
But,
oh
yeah, we're going off the beating path, and we're doing...
Excuse me, I'm trying to get you to sing.
Oh.
I don't know if you noticed that little transition.
That I will never run away. I am here for you. Love was meant for two. So tell me what you're gonna do.
Here it comes.
If I gave you diamonds and pearls, would you be a lucky boy or a girl? If I couldn't give you the world,
all
I can do is just offer you my love.
I love you,
man. Oh my goodness, I love you, woman.
I love you. I got chills. Okay.
Okay. Wow. I guess we are. Geraldine's showing up for the show, everybody.
Oh, I wish I would play with y'all in a heartbeat. Yeah. So, knowing that you got all of these songs and you try to do a little obscure, it's just you on piano and you on vocals. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, we're adding a couple extra pieces this time. Initially, we were doing it truly in the vein of the piano and the microphone style approach.
Which is what he was doing in his last performance.
It's pretty amazing. And so I love that Tommy wanted to do it with this approach because we had played shows and he's doing a lot of programming and a lot of orchestrating. And, you know, I love
He's good at that, by the way.
He's
I
the
know
best
this.
At that. He's got the greatest mind at separating idioms of any musician I've ever been around. It's really amazing. But he's playing. This is about almost like a jazz club approach to a show or a MTV Unplugged kind of scenario. But we'll have an upright bassist. Liz Draper is going to be on upright bass. Jeremy Ilvesacker is going to be on guitar. He's done a couple of these with us also. He's fantastic.
Okay, so this you definitely have
guitar.
Right, the possibilities to do whatever song.
Yeah,
we're gonna
push the envelope a little bit.
So you're gonna have the Steinway as well as your keyboard?
No, it's just all acoustic. It's
all
unplugged.
Acoustic.
Yeah.
So upright bass.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Acoustic guitar.
He'll use a fat belly.
He's done some textures. You know, it's a different approach. We're not trying to play it like the record at all. We're doing to me, it's really honest. It's like what I love about it is, you know, I've done the other tribute shows and stuff, and this to me feels like the most honest for me. I feel good about it.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I that sounds corny, but it's like I can see him looking down and listening in, going, yeah,
yeah.
I remember one time at rehearsal. I don't know what we were playing, but he said, it was something about or something very piano driven, and he was like, "Come on, Tommy, play." He's like, "Just like you're playing with the Steels. Come on." Because that's when he first saw me, was playing with
Paul. That's right. Kim Basinger was in the audience that night.
Yeah.
You were just fantastic with Prince. And the camaraderie between the band, even though there were people who say, you know, Prince was hard to work for at times, right? But when he invested.
Yes.
His heart, soul, all of that, right? So I was just saying earlier that I have a little hard time with Paisley Park being a museum. I get why, but I'm uncomfortable. I haven't been yet. I'm not ready yet.
It's I understand the concept of having to keep the lights on.
Right.
And now you don't have that.
Right. I get that. But it's hard.
That individual around whom all things circulate, that's the hub of reason why that place is there. So I struggle with the concept of that whole thing.
Well, so have you seen it, Tommy? Have you been out there?
You know, when MPG played in 2017.
Mm-hmm. At the Excel? At Paisley,
Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and kids came because I wanted them to see the place. You know, they had never seen it, so I wanted them to see the place that I spent a good chunk of my life. And they arranged a tour mostly for them.
Yeah.
And I felt weird about it, but the irony was it was me and my family and Levi and two of his kids on the tour, right?
Right.
And this kid was like telling us about all the rooms, and it's like we knew way more about it than them. But it was funny. But yeah, I always say, you know, it's strange. It's like I equate it to the house you grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
Becomes a museum and folks are just traipsing through your old bedroom.
Right, like the Jackson 5 house in Gary, Indiana, right?
It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. So here you are at the point in your life where you still are playing some of those songs. 7 years is a long time. The traveling that you did, the time that you spent under his tutelage. Is there a song that you play to this day? When you begin it, there's something inside that just shivers, or you feel something else when you begin that song?
There's a lot. You know, Diamonds of Pearls is special for me, as I said the story. But to me, it was more about the songs that I heard before I worked with him, where it was like, I remember Adore was always a song that just still crushes me. I just like something about that song I love forever in my life. But I remember the first time I was ever in Paisley, I was at a party out there, and I went. Someone brought me a Studio A, and there was a keyboard or something, and there was a piece of tape on it, something that said Adore. It was like that was the sample or something, and I was just like, this is the keyboard they play. You know, and it's like, so the stuff before I was there, it's more magical for me because it was still that unknown, you know.
I was so afraid. You know, Jovita was the one that had the relationship, and JD had the relationship with him personally, and he kind of embraced the family. So the first time we all went out there to work with him, I was putting my makeup on in the mirror, right? And I'm thinking, God, don't let this little man say something to me that I just can't handle. Please don't let it happen. You know, I can't trust myself because he's just the sexiest man in pumps I have ever seen. I have ever seen, right?
Well, yes.
So, you know, it's intimidating when he walks into the room, yet there was such a softness and acceptance of it all. He never said, Gerilyn, why won't you lose weight? Or Gerilyn, why won't you do this? Never once. He would just embrace me and just tell me, you're beautiful. One time we were doing Blank Man, the video for that in Los Angeles. Do you remember that?
I was there.
And you remember how, you know, my makeup wasn't right and I wouldn't say a word, right? And I'm sitting down and he walks over to me and he goes, you don't look happy. I said, oh. He said, what's wrong? I said, oh, it's nothing. He goes, no, tell me, what's wrong? I said, well, you know, my makeup is a little weird, and that's okay, though. And he goes, no, makeup! Makeup! You know,
he's going to make it happen.
Yeah, so that was really special. A lot of people didn't know the philanthropist he was and how caring he could be. But it was also those technicalities where, you know, he was the boss, and you knew he was the boss. So when you do this show on Saturday night, are you going to tell the stories that you know and are in your heart, or do you just stay away from that and do the music?
That's a big part of it. I'll share some stories. I don't know which ones. I kind of roll off the cuff. Whatever comes out.
I need to be at that show.
Yeah.
You should. I want to hear those stories.
Yeah. Everyone wants to hear the stories.
Because you don't talk a lot.
But he's got great stories.
Yeah, he's got great stories. When he talks, yeah. I want to hear it, right?
Exactly.
So I shouldn't say you don't talk enough. You don't talk enough.
You know what's interesting is...
He measures his words.
Yeah.
He's one of those people.
When I get together with the other guys...
Not me, I'm a loose cannon.
Everyone remembers different things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, you remember the time of this? And it was like, yeah, kind of. And they say, oh, yeah, and then this happened. And you're like, no, I don't remember that. Because so much was happening with him. It was like, so many things happened every day. Everyone remembers different things because you can't possibly remember all of it. So
I remember watching these guys rehearse. That was one of the more incredible things. At the time, I mean, Prince was managing my and Bland's rock band, Black Julius. And so I spent a lot of time out there, like, sneaking and watching their rehearsals. And just watching him operate in those settings was incredible.
Yeah.
Just so in charge of every single element in everything, and then having that band to kind of like make his wildest imaginings come true. It was like incredible to watch. I can only imagine what it must have been like to.
Yeah. And I was constantly watching, waiting to see what he was going to wear that day for
Funny.
Rehearsal. You know, that's what I wanted to see. What are you going to wear? I don't know if you remember that time he wore the diaphanous suit under a trench coat. And he's twirling, and I just went, take off the trench coat. He said you was bad as an old man. Isn't that terrible?
I remember the dressing room before those MTV awards with those pants.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all like, okay.
Yellow. Yeah. It has been a pleasure having you both in. Tickets are still available. The Parkway Theater, TER.com. If you want more information, of course, you can go online and look for it, or you can call the box office as well. You don't want to miss this show on Saturday night. It features Julius Collins, Tommy Barbarella. Come on, y'all. And this is going to be a remarkable show, and I know you're going to blow them away, Julius.
I'm going to do my best.
Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Love you, Geraldine.
Are you going to sit in with me Thursday night at the Dakota? You thinking about
it
still?
I thought it was Wednesday.
Thursday.
Okay.
Oh, see?
I'm glad you mentioned it.
Yeah. Well, let me know if you can.
We got to figure out
because you've been advertised.
I volunteered.
I
said,
You did.
Let's do it.
Okay. I love you both.
Love you, too. Right.
We'll be back in a moment. Oh, my goodness. That was such a fun hour to talk about someone that we all loved, to talk about Prince and what he meant in our lives. And it was really special to me. So I appreciate you sticking and staying with us and taking a listen to Julius and I sing a little bit of Diamonds and Pearls. I have never sung Diamonds and Pearls. I mean, you know, on the album, we were on that album, and you know, it was Rosie Gaines that did the female voice. And what a voice. What a voice. I want to let you know that I am performing this Thursday night at the Dakota, and it's called This Is Me. You know that song? Look out, because here I come. Hey, hey. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be free. I make no apologies. This is me. Y'all got to come. I tell you, I'm just so excited about this. The songs that I'm singing are some of the songs I have wanted to sing for a long time. If I would. Oh, don't get me started. I'll start crying. So come on down to the Dakota. Just go to dakotacooks.com or you can call 612-332-5299. It has been a pleasure being on with you tonight. There's so much happening, not just with Prince, but all over the cities this week. So if you get a chance, get out, see it, be a part of it all. It's worth it. We are worth it. By the way, Snoop Dogg is coming Friday at Treasure Island Casino. St. Paul Peterson Friday at the Ice House, and Andy Grammer. I think it's Grammer. Saturday at the Armory. And of course, Julius Collins and Tommy Barbarella Saturday at the Parkway Theater. Don't miss them. We'll be back in a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.